I want to read to you.
Sorry, great-grandpa, can I interrupt you?
Yes, you can.
Because your great-grandson is in church
today. Oh, that's right.
And so I just wanted to say hi to
Baby Zion.
Jasmine, who is actually with Baby Zion out of the service right now, but they are here today, and so I just wanted to make that announcement.
Well, thank you.
Congratulate our great-grandma and grandpa also.
Yeah, thank you, Grandpa. Yeah, thank you.
Jasmine Zion.
I didn't see you, so I. But be sure you take a glimpse at Baby Zion. He's adorable. He's adorable. Amen. He was at our house all day yesterday, and the kids. And so, Tyler and Jasmine, if you can hear me, thank you for the work you do with the kids ministry, and congratulations on Baby Zion. Yeah. Thank you, son, for reminding me of that. Or you're back at the camera. It's a little bit unusual service this morning. I knew it was going to be that way. But I know that you understand. I want to read to you the passage in 1 Corinthians 11 about communion. These are the words of Paul, and he quotes Jesus. This is something he received from the Lord about what we call communion, the communion meal. In 11:23 of 1 Corinthians, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." The same night he was betrayed, he took bread. Paul spent a little bit of time in the Arabian desert after his conversion. We don't know exactly where or what he was told, but we think that he was told some things there that when he references later about the thorn in the flesh, he said, I saw things that are unlawful for me to say. He saw some things that he could not express. And it's possible that during that time of the Arabian desert, the Lord showed him about communion too. We don't know for sure, but it's possible. But he said, "What I received from the Lord was that on the same night Jesus took bread, or was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Don't ever forget why you're taking communion. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Don't ever forget why you're taking the grape juice. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now remember, you read that and most of you say, "Oh yeah, that's what happened at the Last Supper." We read that in the book of Matthew 26:26. And so Paul was familiar with that, but he wasn't. See, when Jesus met with the disciples, Paul wasn't there. He wasn't even Paul yet. He was Saul. He hated Christians. So he had no idea what went on in that upper room. Jesus showed him what went on in that upper room. And this is what Jesus showed him. And the one thing that stands out in this passage is that Jesus said to him, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget why I did this. Don't ever forget. I did this because I love you. Don't ever forget why my body was broken, why my blood was spilled out. I just did this because I love you. And when we take communion once a month here, as we're able, we need to always remember why we do this. This little packet here that contains the bread and the grape juice. These are symbols of what Jesus did for us. Never forget that. Never forget that. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I find myself forgetting things. Maybe I'm the only one. And yet, as I get older, I'm starting to remember things that happened years ago. And they're like clear as a bell. Now, don't you amateur doctors start diagnosing Pastor right now. If you're a real doctor, I'll take your diagnosis. But no, I think that's just the way of things. But I'll tell you this, one thing I've never forgotten. I've never forgotten the first time I took communion, and I've never forgotten what Jesus spoke to me that day when I was a little boy, and I've never forgotten since then how important this is. I've never forgotten how important this is. And every time I look at this, and Cheryl and I prepared this communion and Friday night, and when we were done, she started there and I started there, and we prayed for every one of these stations, and we prayed for every one of these little packets, that everyone who took communion this morning would remember how powerful Jesus' love was when he died on the cross for us. We prayed for you. Cheryl prayed for every seat over there, and I prayed for every seat over there. So if you're getting blessed, it's because Cheryl prayed a better prayer than I prayed over here. Sorry, folks. But we prayed because this is so important to remember. Don't ever forget why we take communion. About a year ago, Sharina preached a sermon out of Psalm 78. And her emphasis was that in that passage it talks about those who'd forgotten. Those who had forgotten. Who had forgotten what God had done. They had forgotten the goodness of God. They had forgotten what God had done. And her emphasis, and I still remember that because it's marked in my Bible. And Sharina preached and said, let's never forget to remember what God did. Amen? Let's never forget that we need to remember what God did. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, Micah speaks to Israel. And in verses 3 through 5, what he says in essence is, remember. Micah 6:3, O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Testify against me. I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. In other words, what he said, O Israel, you are complaining to me about God. You're complaining to God. Let me remind you what I've done for you. I'm sure you, as I, have found myself at times complaining to the Lord. God, why this? And God, why that? And God, why? And then it's like God thunders back and says, or in a gentle voice speaks back and says, well, just remember all the things I've done for you. Just remember all the times I helped you through. Just remember. Don't ever forget the times that I stepped in and made a difference. So it's like Micah saying, you can complain all you want to, but when you start remembering what I've done, it'll kind of calm that down. Amen? Remember. And then in verses 6 and 7, Micah says, with what shall I come before the Lord? Bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, a calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What's interesting is that that's exactly what God did. He gave his firstborn for us. Amen? His only begotten son. But Micah says, what can we do? 10,000 rivers of oil. I mean, the oil we need to give our offerings, we need to give our tithe, we need to be in church if we can. Those things are important. We need to witness, love God, support our missionaries. Yeah, those things are important, but what Micah says in essence is none of those things are what we really will secure our salvation. That's already been done through Jesus. Amen? Amen. And those other things we do because we love him. We're not paying him back. We do those because we love him. This was done freely. And then he ends with this, and we're going to sing this song and we're going to conclude. But in verse 8, Micah said this, and you'll recognize this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. Now, what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of us today? We've taken communion, we've been in church, maybe given our offerings, whatever. Okay, so now what? What does the Lord require of every one of us? And he says three things. Number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. And number three, to walk humbly with your God. Those are three powerful things that God says, that's what I expect you to do. And you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, every one of those things are reiterated in the New Testament. And so today we are responsible as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to do three things. Number one, to do justly. We need to be people of justice. We need to do justly. We need to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing. What is the right thing? We could spend all morning on that. We need to do the right thing. The right thing is to follow Jesus and to be just with people, to be fair, with people in our family, to be fair. Is this a fair decision? It's not fair to hold grudges. It's not just to backbite, talk about people. It's not just, it's not the right thing to be complaining all the time. To do justice. Secondly, to love mercy or loving kindness. God says that's the second thing I want you to do, is to love people. Love people. Love people. Well, you don't know them like I do, Pastor. If you knew them, you wouldn't love them. That may be true. But if I can't love them, I can love them through Jesus. Amen? To love people, loving kindness. For God so loved just the good people. No? For God so loved just the bad people. No? For God so loved just the Pentecostals. For God so loved the Baptists. You're confusing me, folks. You're not saying amen to any of this. For God so loved what?
The world.
Every one of them. The Assyrians and the Ninevites and the Taliban. He loves them all. That doesn't excuse their sin, because that's got to be taken care of through the blood of Jesus. God loved them all. God loves Antifa, but he doesn't love what they do. Recently, in a meeting in Portland, a group was worshiping God and praising God, and Antifa showed up and started ripping things and throwing things and everything. And one of them walked up to the stage and was going to start taking the speaker down, and someone walked up to them and began to tell them about Jesus. And by the time they had finished, that Antifa member took off their mask and knelt down and gave their heart to Jesus. I don't like what they do, but God died for them. Amen? Loving kindness. And then finally, to walk humbly with your God. Boy, when we think of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And as we're singing this song, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you're watching online, Jesus loves you and he died for you. And all he asks is that you just give your life to him. Give him control. So So as we sing this song, in your heart of hearts, just say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I've done wrong things. But I believe that you died for me on the cross and that your blood was shed for me. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and help me to become a child of God. And if you pray a simple prayer like that, however you want to pray it, God will hear that prayer and he will save you and you will be a different person than you walked in. Amen? You'll be a different person than you walked in. That humbles me to walk humbly with your God. I'm nothing. I'm a little taller than you are right now only because the stage is 2 feet tall. But if I step off the stage because the floor is slanted, I'm lower than anybody. Walk humbly with your God. None of us are anything. But in Jesus, we're everything. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together to sing this final song. Father, we thank you this morning, O God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the service today. We thank you for our communion time together. For everyone that's here, Lord, we thank you for your great salvation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being there for us and being our refuge and our stronghold, Lord. And Lord, you know those who are trusting you. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. Even though there may be difficult times, Lord, help us to trust you and walk humbly before our God, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God, Lord. That's your call upon every one of us. We thank you for it. Now, as we go our separate ways, Lord, we pray that you'd be with each one and help us to continue to enjoy this wonderful Lord's Day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for working overtime this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Thanks for coming. We'll see you, if not before, next Sunday. And men, Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock in the foyer, if you want to come to Bible study. We'll kick it back in place. 10 o'clock, Tuesday morning. God bless you.